Welcome to This Grit and Grace Life. You've got questions, we've got answers. From the boardroom to the bedroom, car lines to college, single, married, or single again, we're bringing real answers to help you live and love your grit and grace life.
Welcome to This Grit and Grace Life. I'm Darlene Brock.
What's up, friends? I'm Julie Bender.
Having a good day, Julie?
Oh, you know, I'm just living the best I can for the days that I've been given.
I love that. That was actually a pretty good setup.
Profound. So profound.
Yeah. Because we're going to talk today about making the most of life. How do we do that?
How do we do that? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, before we begin, I decided, you know me, I love adventures and doing different things. So I thought I would look for some of the most extreme adventures that you actually can take.
I feel a little fearful as we adventure into this concept, but sure, let's find out things you might want to do one day. You might want to do.
Well, some of these I wouldn't, but some actually I would. All right. Do you know that you can go piranha fishing in the Amazon?
I know.
No, I did not know that.
No. And honestly, I'm not sure why you would want to do that one. I don't know if they're extra tasty or something, but... You know, those fish that like are flesh eating, you want to catch one?
With the razor sharp teeth?
Yeah. No. And how do you take them off the hook? You know, I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that one.
I mean, if you're imagining piranha infested waters, razor sharp teeth, a boat, someone dresses Indiana Jones, then literally you've kind of got it. That's what it is. I'm going to pass on that one. Would you do that one?
No. No. Wouldn't do that one.
Okay. What about kayaking in Greenland in the ice sheet? There's literally an active hiking and sea kayaking trip in one of the most remote places on Earth. You can experience true quietness as you paddle silently through iceberg-filled waters where whales roam. I'm also going to pass on this one. I don't do the water things, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you don't. You don't even like going to the beach here in Florida.
Just like, so cool.
Yeah, no, you don't. I mean, I would definitely do that, with the exception of I don't like to be cold. So I would have to wear layers and layers and layers to justify it. Yeah. What?
A wetsuit.
Oh.
Isn't that a thing?
It is a thing. Or, you know, silk underwear. I'm not sure which. All right. How about this one? Running the Bulls.
Okay, I've heard of this.
Yeah. Running the Bulls is an event that takes place every July in Pamplona. Pamplona. Thank you. Yes, I butchered that. Poor Pamplona, Spain, and involves running in front of a small group of loose cattle.
Well, any videos I've seen, it wasn't a small group. Or maybe the cattle themselves were small, but there was like this mass of people. And I feel like if you're at the front, you're fine.
Yeah, way front.
But maybe it costs a lot to be at the front.
I don't know. I mean, my grandfather did have a farm, and he did have cows, and he did have a couple of bulls. They are intimidating.
I thought you were going to say your grandfather ran with the bulls. In
yeah.
My grandfather had bulls, she said.
And he ran in the back 40 with them.
Oh, man.
No.
Okay, what about storm chasing tornadoes?
I would do that.
Did you know that you could actually go on a storm chasing tour with your chance to get in the belly of the beast with a professional guide and witness nature at its rawest moments?
I would do that.
I think I could do that one.
Yeah. When I was a kid in Indiana, I remember standing outside of the house when a tornado was coming and watching it, and my father running out and grabbing me by the back of my pants and dragging me in.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome.
Did you have like storm like cellars where that you went down into?
No,
or you just
it was
went
a little
bathroom?
No, it was a little 3-bedroom tiny house that we just kind of got in the bathtub together, yeah. And that was it.
Lincoln asked me the other day where we were supposed to go if there was a tornado. I'm like, I feel like you know too many things. I don't know, but I guess I should think about this. I'll get back to you. The bathroom. Yeah,
That's it. All right. Wing walking on a biplane. Nope. You know what a biplane is?
A tiny little plane.
With four wings technically, but walking on the top of it. They actually will train you, which is a good thing, and they will probably put, you know, they'll tether you to the plane, but nevertheless, you're walking on a plane in the air.
Wow.
I would like to try that. Okay. As weird as that is,
I want to skydive, but I don't know that I need to be walking on the plane as it's driving around. No thanks.
Yep.
Also, a no for me is water buffalo racing. Participants can balance on a small wooden chariot and be dragged around through shin-deep mud by a pair of buffaloes moving at speeds over 50 kilometers per hour. What? Where did you... No, I don't believe this.
It's true. It's really true.
I feel like we need YouTube links for all of these things in the show notes.
Yeah. Just a truth checking. But no, it's true. I don't know if I'd want to be slathered in mud and trust the water buffaloes in a small wooden chariot.
No. Yeah.
But then again, if I was there, I'd probably go, yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah. Well, the truth is we only have one life to live in this grit and grace life. So why not do everything we can to get the most out of it? So we're going to be chatting about literally milking this life for all it's worth while living with purpose and simply enjoying each day. Sounds like we're looking for a little bit of a balance of going for it, but also enjoying each day as it comes.
It's true. Julie, do you know that you and I have done this podcast for 5.5 years?
Well, what's awkward is it's actually been 6.5 years.
Oh.
When I read this outline, I was like, gosh, this is embarrassing, but I think I'm going to have to correct her on air. 6.5 years.
Wow. Now it feels even.
You thought it was long at 5.5.
Yeah, we
so daring.
Have. Yeah, but anyway, aside from factual misinformation, so they say, is that we've had a lot of life in those years.
Yeah.
You know, some of it's been good, great, wonderful. Some of it's not been.
For sure. It's probably because of the COVID year that you got that off. Like our brains can't compute that year in there.
I dismissed that year.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Julie, for your grace.
But in that time, we've literally chatted about all different things, whether relationships, motherhood, health, anxiety, both light and challenging subjects. But we've also talked a lot about self-worth and purpose. It's the kind of thing that people continue to go back to because we have this innate feeling that we're supposed to know it. We're supposed to be walking in it. We're supposed to be excelling in all things all the time. Is that true?
I think that's true. We think that. But I think what happens often is we get so focused on, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? That we lose the joy of life. Mm-hmm. We lose the fact that we're experiencing each day and there are wonderful things in it. Mm-hmm. And we don't sit back and enjoy it because we're so intent on doing so many things correctly.
Well, and I actually do think that there was a cultural conversation kind of back when we were starting the podcast that it really was what everyone was talking about, which I mean, has its merit. There is value in that and reminding people and encouraging people that they are meant for a purpose and there is much to be gleaned from this life and to not waste it. But it almost seemed like we took it so far that there was like this unnecessary pressure on people who maybe weren't doing extravagant things, but absolutely had a purpose to fulfill in the life that they were living. And so I think that's what we kind of want to talk about today is whether it's in the big things or the small things, you can still strive to get everything you can out of these days that we're given because literally you don't know when it's going to be the last one.
It's true. And Julie, I told you this story before we started of my youngest daughter when she was 8 years old and it was her birthday. And I don't know why this starts at 8 years of age in some people and then goes through life, but I think most of us deal with this. I found her in her bed sobbing at the end of her birthday day. And I'm like, we had a great day. We had a party. You had friends. What in the world? And I sat down beside her and said, what is wrong? And she said, I have wasted a year of my life. I'm like, are you serious? You're 8 years old.
Bless
okay.
it.
Yeah, she did. She was like, I needed to do something important that counted. And I'm thinking, girl, you need to play and go to school and, you know, that's it. But I think that's the intensity that sometimes we carry on with us in every other part of life.
Yes. And that can be crippling at times. And that makes me sad for her. But I also understand where that can come from. And I think more people are afflicted at different levels for sure. Charles Schulz once said, my life has no purpose, no direction, no aim, no meaning. And yet I'm happy. I can't figure it out. What am I doing right?
Well, and look at the impact of his life. Mm-hmm. We have so many rich moments through his cartooning that, you know, if he wasn't doing anything purposeful, it certainly ended up being so. And I think that's the balance between finding purpose and worth and actually enjoying what you do and experiencing life and being happy in it.
And I guess we want to just say that combining your self-worth and your purpose and your life experiences as they come, some of which you don't even get to choose, it should be natural and it's going to be unique to you. And at the end of the day, I think as women of faith, sometimes we put this extra added pressure on ourselves of like, not only are we supposed to have purpose, but I'm supposed to be, you know, making God happy or making God look good or glory, you know, we say glorify God with our lives. And we have this idea that it has to be this big, perfect thing all the time. And that's just going to really mess you up, by the way. But there is a way to combine it all in such a way that the pressure is not there, but the purpose and the meaningfulness is there. And I think that's what we're wanting to look for.
Yeah. And as women of faith, we really are only supposed to do two things. Love God. That doesn't mean he's going to hit you over the head every time you don't do something right. We're just simply supposed to love him as we love anyone else imperfectly. We're not going to love him perfectly. We're not going to serve him perfectly, but we just need to offer love to him. And then we're supposed to love other people too.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we were really just focusing on loving God and loving others, we'd be busy. We'd be plenty busy enough, you know?
True.
And we would feel fulfilled if we really focused on doing those things to the best of our ability, which again, looks different to every person and in every season. If we really did simplify it down to loving God and loving others, we would have that sense of confidence and, you know, self-purpose and belief that we matter and we're doing what we're called to. If we would just let it be those things.
Yeah, and they don't need to be pressure points. They just need to be everyday experiences. And I know, you know, there are things that you love, Julie. You love going to Disney. You love the experience of all things Disney.
It's true. I do. I'm wondering when I'm going back as we're saying that. Like, oh, it was just there. When do I go again? I do love it.
And it is delightful. And why does that mean you don't love God or you don't love others? Actually, it just means that you're enjoying the life that God gave you, which is a way to love God. And you're also loving others because your family goes along and they get to experience it too.
For sure. And you and your husband both love to be outdoors. God bless you. You know, I like to be outside for a minute, but you like really like to be outside and enjoying God's creation and nature and, you know, the cold and.
Well, no, not the cold. You know, I am convinced that the new earth once created is going to have a place that we can wear shorts in the snow. At least that's my goal. But, you know, that's my simplistic goal. But I do. We do love all things outdoors. We love hiking. We love mountains. We love water. You know, we have gone on trips where I do get weary at some point. My husband, when we were in Utah, he was fascinated by the Red Rock formations. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, look at that one. Oh, look at that one. Oh, look at that one. And I'm like, there's some point you go, it's just another red rock. But nevertheless, we do. We enjoy those kind of adventures.
That's so funny. Literally, when we went to Wyoming and we went to Yellowstone, we were there for a couple hours and I was like, okay, I feel like I've seen it. Like, this was beautiful. I'm glad that I traveled 44 days to get here. I've seen it. And then my uncle was like, yeah, we should come back tomorrow. And I was like, but we saw it. Can't we do something else tomorrow?
Yeah, really.
To each his own. And I think that's what we're saying. Like, you have things that you enjoy. Choose what you enjoy. The big things and the little things, you know, the red rocks and the mulch in your front yard, and enjoy them and be happy with the things that bring you joy.
It's not only the adventures or the big things, as you said, it is the everyday. You know, we've talked again about motherhood, and it can be challenging. It can be exhausting. It can be all of those things. But then your child says something that is truly hysterical. Mm-hmm. And you're on the floor laughing, thinking, who made this clever, clever person? And there's such joy in that. Mm-hmm. You need to look at motherhood, not just as, am I a perfect mother? No, you're not. None of us are. And that's wonderful and great and no problem at all. But you need to look at it and go, yeah, there's a fun side to it too.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I feel like being a mom with a young, really, I mean, I have a toddler and I have a He's not quite preteen. What do I just, he's just a kid. He's an elementary kid. And I do have those moments with like, one is driving me crazy. And then he or she does something that I'm like, I just can't imagine my life without you. And I have found myself pausing in those moments and thanking God for like, thank you for this little moment where nothing else matters except enjoying my child for who he or she is, and help me maybe remember this later when I'm annoyed at something he or she may do, because I'm normal and that's going to happen.
Well, and don't always get annoyed at everything. You know, this is something I could do more easily as a grandmother. Okay. As a noni, I walked in on my 9-year-old grandson last night. And we, you know, we have an ice maker in the refrigerator that crushes and doesn't crush. Well, he had decided he wanted to do his own crushing. So he got full cubes out, put them on a rubber glove used for washing, got out my meat mallet, and started crushing his own ice. And Lauren walked in and went, "What are you doing, Brock?" And I said, "He's crushing ice." "It's no big deal, Lauren." I said, "You know, Brock, just make sure anything on the floor gets picked up, because we don't want to slide across the floor when you get done." He's like, "Okay, Noni." And there he went with the meat pounder, crushing his own ice.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have been annoyed like Lauren. But to your point, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not.
Well, and, you know, beyond motherhood, we have our relationships. There's things in our friendships, our romantic relationships, our family relationships that are there to marvel at and enjoy and appreciate. And sometimes we just focus on all of the little nitty gritty, annoying, frustrating, conflict things instead of I just want to go back to saying appreciating, just really appreciating who they are, what they bring to your life, what you bring to theirs, the things that would never have been if you weren't in a relationship with this person. And I'm not just saying your, you know, your husband, your romantic relationship, but your friendships, like the connections you make with people, they're worth valuing and really taking time to ponder what is special and meaningful to you.
I remember one Christmas where Lauren and Chelsea, you know, adult, they were in adult years. It wasn't that long ago. And their aunt and myself, and I can't remember who else was there. And we just kept talking about funny moments in our lives together. And we were on the floor laughing our heads off, because we could go back and look at ridiculous things that now we just thought were hysterical. And having lived through so much life together, there are things that you value that do in real time too. Don't just do it in memories, do it in real time. Your job, your work, does it get laborious? Does it feel like it's never going to end?
Yes. I don't mean this job, but my husband's job. And that's not even my job. It's his job. I can't wait to hear what you say about this. How do I enjoy this?
Sometimes it's hard to. Let's just go there. But again, you know, are you able to do something that you love? Is he able to do something that he actually loves, even though it is exhausting? And, but, you know, celebrate your talents. Even if it's something he doesn't love, he's very, very capable of. Even if it's something that he is building towards something else, enjoy that. And take the wins.
Yeah.
Take the wins. I know, especially like in Donnie's case, he's building his own business. There is nothing like building your own business. Trust me on that. It's got its own challenges. But he has a lot of wins. You know, you look, guys, you need to look on Facebook. What is his whatever it is? Help me here, Julie.
My face is like, I don't even know what you're saying.
No, I want them to see look Donnie's work.
Oh,
okay.
Sure, we can link his Instagram, I think is easier. But
okay, go yeah, there.
His crew is definitely doing some beautiful projects. It is hard to own a business, but you're right. There are times, actually most recently, I heard him on the phone with one of the younger guys that works for him, who's, you know, he's just trying to figure out life, and God bless him, he's struggling. And I was just so blessed listening to my husband, who has had plenty of his own challenges, encouraging this kid, really on the fence of like, can I continue employing him?
Yeah.
And wanting to bless him with that, but also knowing that he's got other people that he has to figure out. Can my crew continue to have him and still everyone else want to work good? You know, there's all of those decisions. And yet he was, can I pray for you? Can I encourage you? Can I share with you some of the mistakes I made that you could benefit from, you know, learning from me instead of you. And I just was like, this is one benefit of him having his own business, that he has that opportunity. And so being able to say, this is a blessing in the mundane hardness of work, that I know this gives him a sense of purpose. And so I found myself enjoying my husband, but also knowing that this moment was giving him a sense of joy and purpose in the midst of the hard stuff of work.
So whether it's going incredibly well for you at your job or in your business or not, take the wins. Take the wins and enjoy them.
Can I just say something more about this? I mean, I feel like I don't work except to record this podcast. So what do I have to say about this? But we talked about like the cultural moment of everyone feeling like they have to have this beautiful purpose, that the whole world knows what their purpose is and they're fulfilling it. There is purpose in going to work, even if it's not something you're passionate about. There is honor in that. There is respectability in that. And even if you don't have the privilege right now of having a job that you love, going to work because you provide for your family and you use your skills and you love God and love others in your workplace, even if it doesn't give you a sense of like, I'm so glad I get to record a podcast today, know that there is incredible value and worth in you doing that as well.
Oh, I love that, Julie. You are so right. Speaking of not having a full-time job, but you really do, what about in your home? I mean, this is where you are right now, by and large. I know you're doing some other things on the side, but your primary responsibility is taking care of your family.
Yeah. And that has been so different for me, right? Like when we started this podcast, I did work. And then, you know, as you've been along with us, you've seen my life change. And now I am at home and I help a little bit with my husband's business, but I really identify as I am a wife and mom as my primary role right now. And it's been weird to adjust to, but really seeking to say, wow, what a privilege that I get to be all the people in my house's person that they rely on, kind of like the backbone and the heart we talk about. And sometimes it feels like it's too much, if I'm being honest. Rever this morning was, mom. And then Donnie's like, why is she doing that? Like, couldn't believe that she was doing that. I'm like, you can go to work now. This is just toddler. This is just children. You know,
like,
I don't know that I'm going to be able to correct that out of her.
Well,
but like,
no, and you
it's
won't,
my life.
And she will walk, if she's 4 or 5 or 10, she'll walk by Donnie and still say, mom.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm like, bless it. You go to work and do the hard things and I will pray for you and I'll probably do things for you today. But this is my job right now. And being patient with her, even when she's saying, mom, that is my job right now. And I'm trying to have the perspective most often of it is a blessing that I get to do so. And I'm thankful that most of the time I can live there. Sometimes I'm like, really wish I had a little more going on. You know what I'm saying? But
it's
a balance.
It is a balance. And it is a season, which we've talked about before. Everything has a season. And unfortunately, our culture tends to diminish what you do when, you know, you could go to a job, whatever the job is, and fulfill it. But if you're raising a child, you're investing in another human and the outcome of their life. How much more significant is that?
It's so true and so easy to lose sight of. So if that's you today, remember it, revel in it, take pride in it, take joy in it. Take a little coffee break in it. Enjoy and just trust that there is great purpose for you in this season.
I pulled a few tidbits, quotes from people. Actually, one isn't a quote. Let me qualify, but two are that I think will help you get most out of life, because that's what we want. We don't want you so focused on your self-worth, your purpose. Am I a perfect mother? Am I doing my job right? Is this the job that I'm supposed to do? We don't want you so intent on all of that that you don't find happiness and joy and make the most out of this life. So this one from Lewis Stevenson says, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seed that you plant.
Yes, yes, yes. I feel like that's kind of goes along with a picture that God gave me at the beginning of last year that I thought would be fulfilled by the end of it. It wasn't. So I'm like, okay, we are still sowing. Got it. Still sowing. What about this quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson? Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail.
I really like that because I think you shouldn't just do the expected. And enjoying and getting the most out of life often comes from the unexpected.
For sure. Yep. What about this last one? Is this like a low-key quote from you, or yeah, you just found it and it wasn't attributed to anyone?
I actually found it. It wasn't attributed, you know, but it's great anyway. Here it is. If you can't see the bright side of life, polish the dull side.
Oh, I like that.
I like that too.
That is, somebody really should have claimed that quote. I feel like that could be on
Here,
a t-shirt.
We'll
or
just
a
say it's ours, okay? We'll put it on a shirt. We'll claim it.
But that's so true, because I think when we can't see the bright side, we're in danger of really going down a dangerous trail. Now, don't hear me saying don't feel your feelings and don't be allowed to be sad or confused or frustrated or even mad. But I feel like this is something that really applies to me lately. We're not where I want to be right now in this part of our life, but I can polish the dull side. And I think that's a message that we can all apply in some area of our life rather than wanting to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's something that we can make the most of in the midst of it.
For sure. You know, I think we'd be remiss, Julie, if we did not address, you know, the women who share our faith, because we get, as you said earlier, we get so burdened by, are we doing what God wants us to do the way that God wants us to do it, saying what he wants? Are we achieving anything of spiritual significance?
Yes, yes, yes.
And it is so wrong. Yeah. Honestly, it is so wrong. Because we need to go back to the simplicity, love God and love others. You know, we put this heavy burden on ourselves that God did not.
For sure. I mean, there's this pressure to be doing something spiritually important, like the women we follow on Instagram who are speaking on stages or spending hours of their day in the Bible or on their knees until they go raw. And that's just not likely. It's not likely for the vast majority of us. And it should not be the standard by which you are measuring yourself. We're supposed to love God and love others, and we're supposed to live the way Jesus did. And he had a really simple life that was focused on seeing and serving the people that came in his path and getting away often with God to see what God might have for him. And so if we can do those things, we will be spiritually important in God's eyes.
For sure. I mean, the truth is you can love God at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I actually pray a lot. I cannot find, Lord, help me find. I only have 10 more minutes. I don't know that that's loving God. That may be desperate pleading, but nevertheless, the fact that he is there when I'm there with mm-hmm. me, you know, says I love him and acknowledge his presence. And, you know, you can even get to the checkout line and show you love God by how you're treating the people around you.
For sure, for sure. You can love those that are closest to you in the menial tasks that you do. We've talked about, you know, the keeping of the house and the rearing of the kids. It involves a lot of the same thing every day, seemingly frustratingly unimportant. What the heck are we eating for dinner again today? No, seriously. Today's
yes.
Friday, so we're having pizza. Praise the Lord.
Oh, I may decided. Do that too.
Every Friday. It's way easier. It's one less day to worry about. But in those menial things, you know you're doing it unto the Lord, and therefore it is pleasing to him and serving a good purpose.
You know, you can love others. We think we need to do something impactful in their lives to show that we love them or make a big difference. Truth is, loving others is opening a door for a stranger. Mm-hmm. Loving others is asking someone you don't know how their day is and mm-hmm. actually wanting an answer. Mm-hmm. The other day I was coming out of a store and there was this woman who had pulled up in front of the store and her husband was getting in the passenger seat. He had a walker. He was moving, you know, at snail's pace, mm-hmm. absolutely snail's pace. I whip around the car. I get halfway to the parking lot and I look back at him and he's still trying to get there. And I thought, I just walked by this man. That's so tacky. So I went back and said, can I open the car door for you? Can I help you? And he said, open the door. I could do the rest. And I'm like, all right, Mr. Independent. I get that. But, you know, I saw somebody who needed a little help and yeah. I walked by and realized I shouldn't do that. For I sure. should go back.
For sure. What did she say?
She just sat in the driver's seat.
She'd been married to that man for a long time. She knew
he's going to get in the car no matter what. She wasn't moving.
Well, at the end of the day and at the end of this episode, I guess we're just here to remind ourselves that we all only have this one life and it's going to go fast. Some of us are closer to the end than others. I don't know. Am I allowed to say that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I feel like you're going to live a long life, Dara. I don't know.
I'm going to be a really, really painful to everyone else old woman for sure.
But regardless, it goes fast. And when we're so caught up in the things that hold us back or distract us or frustrate us or anger us, instead of enjoying our life as we have it, looking for purpose, looking for adventure, nurturing our relationships, enjoying the days that we have, we're not going to get them back. And we are meant to do that to the best of our ability. Not shaming ourselves when we fail, but trying and trying and trying again.
So true, Julie. And, you know, I want to encourage you, not even in the everyday, look for adventures. You know, if you want to go on that water buffalo thing and you happen to be in the proximity of it, go, you know, do skydive, Julie. Go skydive. Go do things that you think, I would love it if I fill in the blank. Well, do it. Because again, like you said, you got one life. Why not enjoy the things that are out there to be enjoyed?
For sure. Well, I think that there's got to be at least a Bible verse or two that can help us reinforce this idea of getting the most and the best out of this life.
Think I'll go to Ecclesiastes, which honestly, guys, is like my least favorite book of the Bible.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it's depressing. It's like vanity of vanities. Everything is not worth anything, which we say today is not true entirely, okay?
And there must be at least one verse in Ecclesiastes that says that. Let us hear it.
There is. It's Ecclesiastes 3:1. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven.
Well, we hope that you have enjoyed at least this section of your day in your Grit and Grace life, and we wish you all the best as you seek to apply these things little by little, more and more, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Grit and Grace Life. Make sure you've subscribed and rated and reviewed the show so more friends can find us. You can also share about this episode on your social media or send it to a friend you think it could help. You can find everything we talked about in this episode on our website, gritandgracelife.com, where you'll also find plenty of other articles from other women answering questions you may have.